Good morning, and welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we have gathered here today to hear your word and to worship and praise your holy name. We ask that we would be strengthened in our faith and our love by your holy word. Help us to be true followers of Jesus by following that word. Give us the comfort of knowing that with Jesus as our leader and good shepherd, we have nothing to fear, but know that he works everything in our lives according to your plan and for our good. Hear us and bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Rise, Shine, You People. We begin our worship service today in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved you above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us. And for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal us and defend us. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is from the Old Testament book of the prophet Jonah. We read from chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and verse 10. Jonah, of course, is very famous in the Bible for being a very reluctant prophet. God sent him to Nineveh and said, preach a message of repentance to them, and Jonah went the other direction. God, of course, used a giant fish to swallow him and bring him back. And now in this reading, we hear Jonah's message of repentance had incredible results among the people of Nineveh. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Get up, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh just as the word of the Lord had commanded. Now Nineveh was a great city to God. It required a 3-day walk. Jonah walked through the city for a day, and he called out, 40 more days and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. The men of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least. And we jump to verse 10. When God saw their actions, that they had turned from their evil way, God relented from the disaster which he said he would bring on them, and he did not carry it out. Our second reading for today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We read verses 14 through 21. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Paul's words here remind us that Jesus died to save us from our sins, but now that we are his, he also died to save us and to save us from living a life of selfishness, a life devoted to self, and instead now a life devoted to Jesus. We read Paul's words then from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the love of Christ compels us, because we came to this conclusion. One died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died in their place and was raised again. As a result, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we knew Christ according to the flesh, we no longer know him that way. So then, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. And all of these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, inasmuch as God is making an appeal through us. We urge you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Here ends our scripture reading.
Grant us grace to see thee, Lord, present in thy holy word. Praise to him.
Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed, beginning on the bottom of page 5. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, O Christ Who Called the Twelve.
Christ who called the twelve, to rise and
Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow followers of Christ. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Mark chapter 1. We read verses 14 through 20. After John, that's referring to John the Baptist, was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. "The time is fulfilled," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the gospel." As Jesus was going along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, since they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat mending the nets. Immediately, Jesus called them. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. When you hear the term follower, what comes to mind? The term follower, used in our day, probably brings to most people's minds thoughts of social media. How many followers do you have? It's important to a lot of people how many followers they have, the people that they follow. Having a ton of followers is a sign of popularity, of influence. It can even make you a lot of money. Do you happen to know who is the most followed person in the world on social media right now? If you collected all the social media sites together and found out who is the most followed person on the planet, do you know who it is? Anyone want to take a guess? If you're reading the sermon copy, I give my guess. Go ahead, Dan. Taylor Swift. That was my guess too, Taylor Swift. She's way down at number 4. She only has 533 million followers across all social media platforms. No, the number one by quite a large margin is Cristiano Ronaldo. He's a soccer star, so he has a very international appeal. He has a whopping 894 million followers. That is an astounding number, especially since he beats Taylor Swift by like 300 some million followers. That's almost a billion followers. But that pales in comparison to the one who has had the most followers in history by a long shot. And it has nothing to do with social media at all. I'm, of course, speaking of Jesus, the one who called his first disciples in our text and still calls out to us in his word, "Come, follow me." In fact, that's what the word disciple means. It means follower. So are you a follower, a disciple of Jesus? We all profess to be. We all profess to be followers, disciples of Jesus. You just confessed your faith in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit again just a few moments ago. But how do you and I know that we are followers of Jesus? Well, to answer that question, I'm going to turn our attention away from ourselves, look outside of ourselves, and actually look to someone else. To look again to Jesus, the one we are following. And I ask you to take a look at the words that we just read from our text and answer this question for me. Who was the one who was making the disciples, making the followers in our text? Was it John, James, Andrew, or Simon Peter that made themselves followers of Jesus? The answer is pretty clear, isn't it? It was Jesus who made them followers. He was the one who went through the region of Galilee preaching the gospel. He was the one who went out and sought these fishermen at the Sea of Galilee that day. Jesus was the one who called out to them, "Come, follow me." And he was the one who said, "I will make you fishers of men." And that's exactly what Jesus did for these men, as you can read for yourselves in the rest of the gospels and also in the book of Acts. In the same way, Jesus has called you and me in his word, come, follow me. No, probably he didn't call us while we were fishing like these four men, but in the same way, Jesus uses his word to call us and to make us his followers. If we look again at our text, we see the message that Jesus was preaching to the people of Galilee, including to these four disciples. We'll see that it is the same message he has preached to us. The first two verses of our text tell us that Jesus went to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The time is fulfilled, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe. Jesus calls to us and to all of his followers for all time has always been a call to repent and to have faith. Repent and believe. Jesus calls us through his word and leads us to repentance. That word means literally to turn around or to have a change of heart or change of mind. His word leads us to see our sins, to see the ways and times we've offended the God who loves us, who created us and died for us, the times we've sinned against him and offended him by our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And that same word then moves us to have that change of heart, to turn away from those sins. This means that we are sorry for them, and we resolve with the help of the Holy Spirit to stop doing them. But repentance also includes a turning, not just away from sin, but turning toward Jesus. Turning to him in faith and finding in him and his great sacrifice on the cross full and complete forgiveness, free forgiveness from all those sins against God and against our neighbor that we commit every single day. It means believing that all of our sins have been nailed to that cross. They cannot condemn us anymore. From the littlest white lie that we tell to our deepest, darkest misdeed. Do you believe that? If you do, then congratulations, you are a follower of Christ. But again, let's keep one thing clear. Just like the first disciples that Jesus called here in our text, these four men, just like he was the one who made them his followers, this repentance, this calling to repentance and faith that Jesus does is entirely, completely his doing. He sought and found us. He brought us from spiritual death and took our sins upon himself by his sacrifice on the cross. He is the one who brought us to spiritual life in him. We did not decide one day to become spiritually alive and born again any more than we can decide to be born physically into this world. This was Jesus doing through his word and the Holy Spirit working in that word. In the same way, Jesus calls to us, come, follow me. That call is completely a call of his grace, his undeserved love, which he planned to do before we were even born. That's one of the ways you know it wasn't your doing. He planned to do it before you were born. In fact, we can go back even further than that. The Bible says he planned to do this before he even created the world. Paul writes in 2 Timothy, God saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So, now that we know and are reminded of the fact that we are followers of Christ, how do we show it? How do we show to others that we follow Jesus? Let's look again at our text and find the answer. Notice that after Jesus preached this message of repentance and faith, after he called these four fishermen to follow him, notice what their response is. Let's read again those verses, the last verses of our sermon text from verse 18 to 20. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat mending the nets. Immediately, Jesus called them. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Notice they didn't ignore Jesus' call. Didn't put him on hold. They didn't pretend like they didn't hear him. They didn't make up excuses. Jesus, can't you see we're working right now? Maybe come back and give us this call when we have a day off. Now is not a really good time. We're trying to make a living here. This is pretty important work. They didn't put off Jesus until later. Jesus, can you come and call us to follow you when we're a bit more qualified, when we're a bit more seasoned, when we're older? I'll listen to that call when I'm older. Now our text says that Simon and Andrew immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. And then James and John, they left their father in the boat with the hired servants and followed Jesus. Based on their actions, is there any question who these men were following? Is there any question when it came down to it whether these four men were more interested in being fishermen or being fishers of men? The answer is obvious, isn't it? Their actions, and then later on their words, would show they were fishers of men. They were followers of Jesus. It's obvious because of their, by God's grace, response to Jesus' call. We should be the same way. Jesus calls us to come and follow him. His call has led us to repent, to turn away from our sins, to turn to him in faith for forgiveness, to take away all those sins. And he's made us one of his followers. Now that we are his follower, he has a role for us to play. He has a job for us to do, each one of us. And he's called us to action. We are called to go out and show that we are followers of Jesus by doing what he's called us to do. And he's called us, his disciples, his followers, to go and make disciples, to make more followers of Jesus. He's called you and me to be fishers of men, fishers for other people, to bring them to Jesus, just like his first four followers. He's called us to share this message of repent and believe in the gospel, that good news of forgiveness, of life, the fullness of salvation in Jesus, our Savior. He is the one we follow, the one who lived for us, died for us, and lives again so that we can now follow him all the way to our heavenly home. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to put it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We'll continue our service with our next hymn, Come Follow Me, the Savior Spake. Please rise. Are there any prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you came to seek and to save those who were lost. It is truly a blessed and faithful saying that you, God's own Son, came here to suffer, to bleed and die to redeem us sinners. You've even supplied to us the gift of faith through the Holy Spirit that we might become followers of you and personally make your salvation our own by your grace. We thank you, blessed Savior. May we never again be wandering sheep, helplessly lost by sin and unbelief from your heavenly fold. Send your Holy Spirit to guide us and protect us by your word. Keep our feet from straying into sin, our hearts from yielding to doubt and unbelief, and our minds from falling prey to false teaching. Give us continually victory over everything that would rob us of our trust in you. Keep our lives uncluttered by the attractions and cares of this world. Dear Savior, fill our hearts with such a firm reliance on you that we will be prepared at all times when you call us to our heavenly home. May we successfully endure any trials that may test our faith. In life and death, in prosperity and adversity, in good times and bad times, draw our hearts closer to you. Whether it be pain or pleasure, cross or comfort, safety or danger, in youth or old age, health or sickness, whatever our condition or station in life, help us to glorify you by true faith and patient, godly living. Dear Lord, draw back to you all those who have wandered from their faith, who have backslid into sin and unbelief. Help them, Lord, to come back to you and draw them closer to you through your word. May it be of daily concern to us to live our lives always more free of sin, doing what pleases you, and move us to help those who have wandered from you to come back to your fold. Have mercy on our human weaknesses, forgive us our many sins, and make us partakers of your glory in heaven. May the blessings of salvation of your grace rest upon us and our homes and upon all who are dear to us. To the glory of your name, we ask all these things as we pray together now the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord, and we'll respond with the doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn for today is found in the TAN Worship Supplement. We'll sing hymn 770, I Hear the Savior Calling. I invite you to stand for the last verse of that hymn. Thank you. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. On behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. A few announcements from the bulletin. This afternoon I'll be heading up to Hayward for our East Bay worship service there, beginning at 1 p.m. This week, Bible instruction classes with Gary will be at 12:15 on Wednesday, and then confirmation class with Natalie will be at 4 p.m. on Wednesday. Thursday, I have Stockton worship service at 2 p.m. and Sacramento worship at 4 p.m. That is a change that we're trying this month. We normally have met on the last Tuesday of each month, but we're changing to the last Thursday of each month in an effort to try and allow more people to attend, especially the Sacramento service. So prayers that that works out well this week and going forward allows for more people to attend. Next Sunday, our worship service is at 10 a.m., Bible class at 9 a.m., and a reminder that our annual meeting for our annual reports is next Sunday. The entire congregation is invited and encouraged to come to the meeting where we'll be reading the annual reports from not just myself, but also the heads of the church council and the various committees in our church. So please come for that meeting next Sunday in the fellowship hall after our worship service. I put hard copy of the church directory from last year. I did a little bit of editing on it, but please look it over. Check your contact information. If you don't have an entry in there at all, go ahead and write your contact information in there. I did just light editing on it and just printed it off and said I'll put it on the table. Let everybody check theirs. If it's correct, put a check mark by it so I know you've seen it. If it is incorrect, change what needs correcting. Again, I did very light editing on it, so if I miss some really obvious things, I'm not going to be offended if you just cross it off and write the obvious thing in there. We'll leave it out there for a couple of weeks. I'm hoping to have those edited, printed off, and distributed by Sunday, February 11th. That gives us a few weeks to get everybody's contact information updated for 2024. As I was looking at some bulletins from last year and just saw a file that had this in there, we didn't get it out till like mid-March last year, so we are on the right track. We're going to have this thing out by the early part of 2024 and not more like the middle of 2024. Lord willing. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.